the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
St. Matthew frames the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Nativity, Christmas, the birth of Christ, which flows out of that long genealogy we heard a few weeks ago. Today, St. Mark frames the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Theophany. In the words we just heard from St. Paul's epistle, the appearing of God, his manifestation, his epiphania. As we prepare to enter into the feast, we need to reflect on St. John the Baptist, who figures centrally in Theophany. It can be easy to overlook just how big of a deal John the Baptist really is. Perhaps we might put it, with all the various necessary changes and caveats, what the Theotokos is to Christmas, John is to Theophany. Of course, John doesn't bear or birth God. Rather, John prepares Israel for the divine fullness, the manifestation of God in the flesh, the divine life accompanied by the Father's voice and the Spirit's presence, something John himself doesn't even entirely grasp. If the Theotokos embodies and perfects all the Old Testament women, John embodies and perfects all the Old Testament prophets. In fact, Mark begins his gospel by smashing together three different texts from the prophets, Exodus, Malachi, and Isaiah, as if they were one passage all about John, integrating Isaiah, Malachi, and Moses into John the Baptist. But these texts do more than that. They depict John as a member of the heavenly divine council. Behold, I send my angel before your face. What the English in our translation renders as messenger is angelos in Greek, my angel, underlying why the church often depicts John with angelic wings in icons as a partaker of the angelic life. According to the gospel text, John is the voice crying out of Isaiah's angelic council in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Moreover, John looks and acts like Elijah, who was taken up into the angelic life in the Merkava, into the spirit, the chariot, the fiery chariot of God. He wears the same hairy mantle, the same leather belt. His diet is super strict, eating wild honey and locusts. These aren't random, arbitrary details. They reveal his nearness and proximity to God. The wild honey recalls the manna that God feeds Israel in the wilderness, which tastes like what? Honey. Divine honey wafers, divine honey cakes. The Lord commanded a portion to be preserved by Moses, Aaron, and the priests throughout all their generations. Remember, John comes from a prominent priestly family. The locusts, specifically deemed kosher to eat in Leviticus, while perhaps unappetizing to modern sensibilities, they lack blood, which reveals a life devoted to strict fasting. It's the same reason we can eat shrimp on strict fast days, because there is no blood. In this way, John resembles a Nazarite, a man who has taken the vow to consecrate and devote his entire life to God. He fits the picture of the law and the prophets. And the people notice these things about him. According to St. Mark, all of Judea, that is, all of Judah, what remains geographically of Israel's southern kingdom, all of Judah go out to him in the wilderness. All of Jerusalem, all of Judah, all of Jerusalem, all of the people come to be baptized by John in the Jordan, to repent, to turn. And he hears all their confessions. Here, we shouldn't think of a general confession. He kind of absolves everyone generally. No, John personally confesses them all and then personally baptizes them all. Think about that. How profound that is. All of Judah, all of Jerusalem, all of the region coming to John, confessing their sins, baptized by him. That's John the Baptist. The angelic life, the life of the prophets, the priests, the Nazarites, Elijah, come again, to use the Lord's own words. A first century celebrity, even Josephus, writes about John. And yet John's entire ministry points away from himself. What does he say, essentially? Whatever I am, whatever I am doing, I am nothing. I am nothing compared to the one who is coming. I am not worthy. I am not axios. I'm not worthy to fall down before him and touch his sandals, let alone his feet. It's not about John. It's not about what John has accrued, what John has built up, what John has accomplished in his ministry, in his life. And there's no false pretense. There's no false piety, outward humility in John. John has emptied himself. John has repented his own life. That is, he has turned it entirely toward God, toward the divine life, and has lived out the angelic life on earth. My angel I send before you. According to the gospel text, repentance characterizes the preparation for theophany. Theophany fulfills Christmas, the fullness of God's appearing. At Christmas, Christ comes to Mary. To her surprise, the empty virginal womb, full of potential and vitality. At Theophany, Christ comes to John, again, to his surprise, to John, who has emptied his entire life for Christ's sake. Before Christ has even been raised from the dead, he has not witnessed the resurrection. He has already emptied his entire life for Christ. He who has died to self and turned himself entirely toward God, so that the divine face itself can appear before his angelic messenger. In this way, John already resembles Christ, one in whose heart Christmas has dawned. Christ is born as Christ prepares to draw near to John for baptism, to shine before him. Brothers and sisters, it forces us to ask the question, if we sat with ourselves in the wilderness, as it were, the place that is toward the divine silence alone with God, where would we find our hearts at? Where would we find our lives at? Could we sit in silence and emptiness with God? In some sense, we're always wandering in the wilderness toward God, preparing for the divine life, preparing for the divine fullness. As we wander in the darkness with the light shining at the end, sometimes we can see that light only dimly, as if it's not shining, but simply flickering. That has more to do with our own sight, the purity of our hearts to see God as we sing every Lord's Day and the Beatitudes. What is the character of our preparation, our waiting, our entire life of repentance, our looking and turning toward God? John illustrates the heart toward which Christ draws near and then shines upon. We just celebrated Saint Seraphim, and we just heard his grace recall and reflect on that profound quote, acquire the Holy Spirit and thousands around you will be saved. Look at John shining as people draw near, They want to be near him. Christ wants to be near him. It's like that guy who keeps coming to St. Anthony over and over again in the wilderness and doesn't say anything. He doesn't speak at all when he comes. And St. Anthony finally asks him, "Do you want to ask me anything?" "No, Abba Anthony. It's enough for me to be in your presence." Are we cultivating that kind of inner life where the hidden person of the heart, the inner man that's springing forth from us, is he attracting people toward us? Not because of us, but because Christ is born in us, dwelling in us, shining in us, forming in us, rooted in us. John has that. John has that life. His entire life is conformed to that. He will die before the resurrection. Yet all he says is, "I baptize you with water. The one coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." St. Mark calls our attention to the beginning. All four Gospels do in their own way. But St. Mark calls our attention to the beginning. The archē of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The beginning, of course, recalls Genesis, creation, where the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, broods and first hovers like a bird over the depths, over the roaring and chaotic waters, as divine light bursts forth into creation appearing through the divine voice speaking. Theophany immerses us into this creational reality. As the Holy Spirit hovers over the chaotic waters of Genesis, subduing them, ordering them, and constituting them toward their created and rightfully divine purpose. In theophany, the Holy Spirit rests upon Christ our God as he enters into the waters of Jordan, reconstituting them, subduing them, trampling down their evil, leviathan-like, monster-like, demonic-like powers, as we still pray every time we baptize someone. But before we enter into theophany, John announces that same Holy Spirit who will rest on Christ in his baptism, he comes upon us as we enter into those reconstituted and now life-giving waters of baptism to fill us with light, to fill us with the fire of God, as St. Matthew will add, to set us aflame for Christ, as the Desert Fathers put it, that to be aflame, to be all fire, to make us children of the light. What we hear on Theophany spoken over Christ, brothers and sisters, we hear spoken over us in our baptisms. A divine voice speaks, the Father, "This is my beloved Son." What St. Paul envisions elsewhere is Christ formed in us, the hope of glory, that we would not only bear his image born in us as we go down into the waters, but we would become like him, that we would bear the likeness of his resurrection. In this baptism, the Holy Spirit rests upon us to empower and help us repent, to help us turn, to aid us, to strengthen us, to fortify us so that we might make it through the wilderness of life. In that wilderness, let us empty ourselves before him. As we enter into a new year, which Theophany conveniently corresponds with, let us remember again our baptisms, and let us renew our repentance. Let us turn our lives again toward God as we prepare for this great feast. Let us love him because he loves us, so that love might appear in us, that it might spring out of our inner man, that it might bubble up to that surface, that that water might seep into us like we are sponges and might burst out of us and spill out toward others so that they might have that living water. Even those who don't love us, that we might be made to be people who people want to draw near to, that it would be enough for them to simply sit in our presence. Not because of us, but because Christ is being formed in us. Let us always seek Christ. And when Christ appears at last, we will appear like him and with him in glory. Amen.